we think we should start. Honorable Van Dam, I know trying to manage whether coalition can be there in Tshwane or not, maybe an issue. But I'm just saying, let's just be back. We accepted we are on the opposition wing in terms of the committee room. But I still have to continue. We'll talk about that later. But I'm just saying that Honorable Matuzi may join us, but we really have to start. We are losing more time. We'll now call in the candidates.
Okay.
And that is Ms. Nomputuko Ntombane. Honourable members and guests, we will now proceed with the interview. Before us, we have Ms. Nomputuko Ntombane. So please feel welcomed in this interaction I'm going to have with you. Maybe just to indicate that you are before a subcommittee of the Portfolio Committee on Communications in the National Assembly. The National Assembly rules allow the committees to also set up subcommittees to focus on a particular matter to process. It is against this background that we have been put together. I will, without waste of time, introduce briefly the members, and thereafter I would then allow you to briefly introduce yourself, understanding that we have also received your CVs and so on, and therefore move straight to your 10-minute presentation. After that, we would afford members an opportunity to engage with you, which would be to a maximum of 5 minutes per member. And the 5 minutes includes your responses to whatever the member would have raised with you in trying to interact with you, and therefore move towards the closure. So if you can keep that 10 minutes maximum as you introduce yourself in the topic, as well as 5 minutes per member. We have Honorable Kubeka on my right here. Next to her is Honorable Mulala, Honorable Faku, then there's Honorable Fandang, Honorable Dr. Ndlozi. We are likely going to be joined now by Honorable Majozi. I'm Honorable Maneli Charity. So in that score, these are the members of the team. Otherwise, you have got support staff that you've been interacting with and members of the staff. I will now afford you an opportunity, as I said, to briefly introduce yourself and introduce the topic that you have chosen for presentation and continue to present in the 10 minutes. Over to you, Mamunum Putuko.
Thank you very much. My name is Nopuko, as introduced. My background is in economics. So I've studied economics. I'm currently working for the Competition Commission as a manager for Market Corner. And the division that I manage consists of lawyers and economists, about 30 of them, who are responsible for conducting investigations into abuse of dominance, as well as exemptions. An exemption is when firms want to be exempted from the Competition Act. I'm also a panel member for the Transport Inquiry, which was recently launched by the Commission, looking into the transport sector. I won't go into much more details. As you said, you have my CV, but that's really briefly my current role at the Commission. I'm a member of EXCO, so I'm part of the decision-making within the institution. I also play a number of roles, but I won't go into much detail into those unless they are specific questions. And then, if I may now go straight to the presentation. So we've been asked to look at four specific areas regarding where South Africa is and an analysis of those. So the way I've made the presentation is to give each slide on the topics that we've been asked to look at. And my focus, if I can go to the first one, on which asks to look at convergent regulation versus single sector regulation. My focus is not really to give technical definitions and explanations of the sector, but my focus was really to explain the experience, because that is what I've been asked to do. So that is how I structured the presentation. Again, I'm more than happy to answer any specific questions that may arise. So on the first one, excuse me, I've given my understanding of what the converged regulation means, just in terms of information that is readily available, and the aspects, or at least in terms of what I understand the concept to mean. The same thing with single sector regulation, and I've made a specific example with ICASA, in that it represents what an example of a single sector regulator single sector regulation would be, as it focuses on a specific sector. But in terms of my focus, then, in terms of what the South African experience is, my view, at least, is that there is recognition of the significance of the sector. I think one would have seen, in terms at least of the statements that have been made by government, for example, in the budget, for example, in the State of the Nation address, but also historically in terms of what the NDP says. And I think this is the recognition that is also made even in the presentations that we've been asked to do, specifically the first one. But there have been delays in terms of implementing particularly convergent regulation, even though globally there has been at least experiences that show that this is somehow what many countries have converged to. And there are specific reasons, particularly in South Africa, in terms of why there have been delays in terms of moving towards converged regulation. There have also been challenges in terms of what has been happening, not only in terms of the delays that have been experienced, but also just in terms of the changes that we have seen, for example, in terms of what's been happening with the government departments in terms of changes in leadership, which may have affected where we are in terms of the move towards convergence. And then also, I think my view is that if you look at where the industry is and where we should be, I think the regulator is behind, or at least policy and regulation are behind in terms of where we should be than an industry itself, or where at least the reality is in terms of where people are with regards to this, and also in terms of what is happening globally. And then another challenge, I think, is the capacity, particularly with the regulator itself in terms of implementation, but not also in terms of the regulator, but also in terms of other supporting structures that would see the implementation of convergence. And then we've also been asked to look at dimensions of regulatory effectiveness as the second point for the presentation. And I've picked a few, and it's not an exhaustive list, but the ones that I thought at least are worth mentioning, or at least important in my view, are the importance of having a clear policy and legal framework which sets out the mandate and the enabling environment for the regulator. In order to enable the regulator to be effective. And then the second one is the regulator itself in terms of the setup of the regulator, in terms of the infrastructure that is made available to the regulator, including its capacity. And then the third one, is the performance in terms of the outcomes and perceptions that we see of the work of the regulator. This can be measured in many different forms, but is informed by the mandate that has been set out already for the regulator. There are also others. As I said, this is not an exhaustive list, but for example, I've made mention of dynamism. And what I mean by this is that the sector itself is so dynamic in that there are changes. And for the regulator to be effective, it needs to be able to keep up with that, with those changes. As I said, the global environment seems to be moving faster than where we are, for example, in South Africa, at least in terms of some aspects of where the sector should be. And there have been reasons for this because of the challenges that we know in the sector. And then also coordination. By this, I mean one of the things that other regulators would do, for example, is to at least work with other regulators. This could be regulators domestically, but also globally, in order to assist in terms of the work that they do, which would help in terms of their effectiveness. And then again, just in terms of my view regarding South Africa's experience, there have been challenges in all of these areas for reasons that I've mentioned some of them already, and information that has been made at least available in the public domain regarding for example consistency in the legal framework, consistency in policy, and also the industry itself in terms of the parties that are being regulated, and also them challenging some of the some of the things that have been introduced in the sector, which limits the extent to which the sector is able to move in some areas. But also in terms of just performance, I think there have been a number of reports, or at least challenges that have been voiced in terms of performance, or at least specifically outcomes. And by outcomes, I mean the benefit to the consumer in particular, but also to the sector itself, in terms of how it's assisting, particularly things like access, things like smaller businesses, and for consumers, let me say, consumers in particular, there are things that have been raised, for example, data, the cost of data, which is supposed to facilitate a lot of things which make life at least easier for the economy itself, but also for consumers. So there have been a number of challenges in this area for a number of reasons. And then just in terms of regulatory institutional structures, so here the way I've responded to this one is by just looking at the industry itself in terms of where the important players are, as well as the legislation, the important legislation that informs the work of the industry. And I've identified Parliament in terms of the legislation, but as well as the work of the industry in terms of what needs to be done. And then the ministry, led by Minister Ndabeni Abrahams, and the department itself in terms of policy directives, but also support to the industry, and then ICASA, the regulator itself. There are also other players, of course, but which I have not mentioned. And then just in terms of the legislation, I've identified the constitution as the overarching the overarching guide in terms of what is expected in the sector, and then the two acts, which is the ECA as well as the ICASA Act. The ECA, in terms of guiding how the industry is regulated, and the ICASA Act in terms of specifying the role of ICASA specifically, but also the interactions between ICASA and the ministry, as well as other areas or other aspects that are highlighted in that act. There are also others which I have not mentioned, which would apply to any other institution of government. So, for example, things like the PFMA, as well as other important policy and legislative documents, I can put it like that. And then the last one was asking us to look at the difference between self-regulation and co-regulation. And my understanding is that self-regulation refers to a situation where, for example, in the industry, instead of having government responsible for or intervening in terms of ensuring that there is compliance, for example, with legislation or with rules in the industry, you allow the industry itself to self-regulate. And then co-regulation would mean that government actually partners with the industry itself or whoever is the relevant party in the industry in order to ensure that if the whatever practices that are supposed to be followed in the industry are enforced as well as are complied with. And that is the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Nondombana. I will now allow members to engage with the presentation, starting with Honorable Kubega.
Thank you, Chair. Morning, Ma. Is it Mrs. Ntombane? Or Nondombane? How are you? We are fine also on our side. Let us welcome your presentation as we have been presented for all key issues that you think they are relevant for this industry. Ma'am Ntombana, can you just tell me what is the difference between the FPB and ICASA, according to your knowledge?
Excuse me, FPB?
Yes. Film, pub, and public publication.
Oh, and ICASA. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, so ICASA is a regulator, right, of the ICT sector or industry, however you define it. And the film and publication board, my understanding is that they are responsible for the, the film industry. They have their own separate institutions that are responsible for the the regulation of the of that industry, if I can put it like that. If really there was any overlap, I would say that it is minimal because of the nature of the content that, for example, the film industry is involved with. But in terms of the institutions themselves, I would see them as completely different. They may be overlap, and they might be, probably a need for them to interact because, as I say, of the nature of the content with which they engage in. But I see them as completely separate and independent institutions.
So on the side of the convergence, there are entities that we are having an interest in order that they can converge. Do you think it's advisable, or how do you see on your side? Are we advising us we can continue to converge, or they can be just as it is at the moment? Thank you.
Okay, so convergence has its advantages and disadvantages, right, I would say. And I think experience from other countries also shows that some countries have implemented convergence in a measured and cautious way, and some of them have even gone to the extent of implementing it and then reviewing to see whether they are achieving what they intended to achieve. And I would say that even with South Africa, it would be the same, not only in terms because of what convergence means, but whether we have the capacity, we have the ability to just implement once off. I would say that you would need to at least do a measured approach, try it where you think that it will be an easier process, or it will be manageable to implement. And then in areas where you think that there will be difficulty, you take a process that is much more managed. So I would not say go bang and you go and you say that you want convergence everywhere. You want to first see how you are doing it and whether you are what the outcomes that you want to see you are actually achieving it. And also just what is it, start where you think that you will be able to manage the process. So that would be my view.
Now take Honorable Fandam.
Please don't be nervous. I can hear you nervous. Just relax. We're just here to have a conversation. So please be at ease. Obviously, you are quite knowledgeable on issues related to competition and market analysis. So I just want to test your knowledge of the broadcasting sector, because that's in essence what you'll be regulating. I don't know if you're familiar with the election broadcast regulations. So every time ahead of an election, ICASA draws up regulations related to election broadcasts. Are you of the opinion that coverage must be given on a equitable basis, or it must be ranked according to electoral support, or determined according to newsworthiness?
That's a difficult question. So I would think that it must be
it's not no right or wrong answer. Just let me know what you think.
So I think it must be an equitable process, because I think that reflects the fairness of the process, and also I think that is what the voters would want to see, right? Because the diversity of the voters would suggest that they would also have different interests. And if you are not covering their interests, some of them would see the process as being unfair. And then also, as much as I would also support the votes in terms of the numbers, I don't necessarily think that that is fair, because what it means is that then the majority gets an unfair advantage of the process.
What do you mean equitable coverage? What does that mean to you?
Equitable coverage.
So equitable for me doesn't... It means that if, for example, you have five parties, the coverage must be for all five parties. Right? And it doesn't necessarily mean that you would have to cover each and every activity, but at least you represent fairly and across the board, so that at least people who are not close to the process have a sense
right.
of what is going on.
Okay, thank you. And then,
keep thinking this thing is on. And then there was a proposal that Parliament must be removed from the process of selecting the SABC board, and that it should rather be the Minister of Communications. Do you agree with that view? Because what is often said is that Parliament is made up of politicians and political parties, and the people that end up on the SABC board are often assumed to be the employees of different political parties. So that's the argument that's often advanced. So what is your view? Do you think the SABC board must be selected by Parliament, or do you think the Minister of Communications should make that decision?
Okay, so in my view, I would go with a public and transparent process. It doesn't matter who does it, whether it's Parliament or it's Minister. And
why don't you think that matters?
Okay, in the sense that you remove the biasness that, or at least the views that people would have, where they would say that if it's parliament, they don't necessarily have the trust in terms of the members that have been chosen as part of the board, but also if it's the minister, people would also have views in terms of who the minister would have selected. So this is why I'm saying that if there is a way you set aside, parliament and the minister obviously have an interest in the selection of the board, but I'm just saying that the focus should be making the process public and transparent. And
you're proposing, sorry, I want to have a conversation with you. So you are proposing that parliament shouldn't do it, the minister shouldn't do it, then who should do it?
Okay. I'm not saying that the minister should, the minister and parliament shouldn't do it. I'm saying that obviously both the minister and parliament have an interest in who the board is.
What interest would the minister have?
Well, the SABC reports, the industry, let me say, reports to the minister.
Okay, so let's take the public broadcaster. Does the SABC report to the minister or does it report to parliament?
Well, okay, it reports to parliament, but I would think that the minister also has an interest.
Right. So what I'm not getting the answer that I'm looking for. Who should appoint the SABC board? Just a phrase, you don't need to, who must appoint it? Is it parliament? Is it the minister? Is it who? That's the question I'm asking. Who must appoint the SABC board?
Okay, then if I had to choose between the minister and parliament, I would go with parliament.
Why?
Okay, parliament, again, because the process is more transparent, of course people will have different views on who the members of the board end up being, but I would think that even if is the minister, people would still have views. So I would go with parliament. I may not be answering you in terms of what you want. But
being a politician, I want straight answers. Just
okay.
Choose one.
Okay,
who
parliament.
Who should appoint it and back it up? Because you're doing like this.
Okay.
You're doing meanders, as Jacob Zuma would say. Straight answer. Who must appoint the SABC board?
Okay,
must it be parliament or the minister? You can't say, oh, maybe the minister, maybe
okay.
Parliament.
Parliament.
Just a straight answer. Why parliament?
Parliament, I think...
Okay.
Parliament, because of the process of how the board would be appointed, but also for the accountability of the board.
Thank you.
Ungabili, relax. Relax. Thank you, Sis Kumputuko, for your presentation. You know, Honorable Fandam wants to get to it, so don't panic. I think you are responding very well to her. Can you tell me why are you applying for this position? Why do you think that you should be part of the council? Why do you think you are the best? What are you bringing in that is different?
So, having worked with the Competition Commission, I've done a number of investigations in broadcasting. So I've interacted with ICASA quite a lot. I've met all the council members as part of EXCO, because we had asked to meet them so that we can understand their work, but also to give them a sense of the investigations that we are doing. I've also done investigations, or at least led investigations in the sector, which involve the MNOs, which means the actors in the sector itself. So it's a very complex sector with many challenges, as I mentioned earlier. And I think that I can bring something because of my experience in the regulatory space. I've done a number of things within the competition commission, and I think that I have something to bring in this area as well. And also I think, excuse me, my particular interest in ICASA itself, as I mentioned, is because of the challenges I see in the sector, and also because I think the sector has a very big role to play in the economy, and we are not seeing that currently, or at least we are seeing it in a very limited extent because of the challenges that we see. And I think that I have a role to play. My interest is not only in terms of delivery, in terms of the work that I do, but it's also about seeing outcomes, which is what my focus is at the commission.
Okay. Now, undifulutete, umazi, Sautilina, I want you to speak freely. Part of your investigation that you have done, and you have interacted with councillors, has there been any success in those investigations? Now, if you are given a platform, what would you do different that the current council is not doing? And then you are talking about very limited. Can you just go to the extent? Because I feel that even in the sector, there's not much transformation. So I want you to take me through that. Thanks.
Okay, so our approach as the commission in the investigation that we've done is that, we have the Competition Act, which gives us a mandate to do investigations, but also a limit in terms of how we can remedy behavior as we find, if we find that there is anti-competitive behavior. But also in the sectors that we engage, we have to engage, for example, the regulators, right? And some of the remedies in the investigations we do have to be implemented by the regulators themselves, hence the interactions that we had with ICASA. And the intention of those interactions was to say to ICASA, we can only do so much as the Competition Commission, and we think that the best remedy here is for the sector regulator, right? Because there are things that we cannot do as the commission. And unfortunately, as I say, some of those things have not happened, particularly in broadcasting. If I can give an example, when we met ICASA, they were in the process of doing a market inquiry into broadcasting. They were also in the process of doing other projects. They were doing some research on data. There are a couple of things that they were doing. And one of the inefficiencies that you see is that there is work that they do which may seem to be duplicated, for example, by someone else. And I think for us, the frustration was really that some of the things that we think ICASA would be doing were just not being done. Or we think that we can do things slightly differently without necessarily doing what they are doing, so that there is not necessary duplication, but we still see the outcomes that we want to see in terms of the scope of what the Competition Act allows us. So in terms of the inquiry into broadcasting, as I was making an example, that process took long, for example, to be done. There was a process, there was a discussion document that went out. It took a while for that discussion document to go out. It went to the public, there were comments, and then the process stalled. Even now, I don't know where the process is. And the reason I'm saying I don't know where the process is because ICASA was constantly interacting with us, giving us the document, but also telling us how far they are. So one of the challenges that I see is that, and I know that one of the reasons that the process stalled was because the industry reacted negatively to some of the remedies that ICASA was suggesting in that document, and the process stalled. So I feel like, I don't know, I think perhaps the regulator is cautious in terms of how he does some of the things, but I also think that there is scope for the regulator to do certain things and to implement certain things because the legislation. For example, the market inquiry, right? The reason that the market inquiry was being done was to address issues that were identified in broadcasting as challenges. And these are not new things. Issues like licensing, the issues like access, issues relating to sports rights and how they are allocated. So a number of issues. So it means that if the process is stalled, it means that those things are not being addressed. Sorry, you also had other questions which I have not addressed. Yeah. If you can just remind me again.
No, I think leave that one. But I have a sense that you agree with some people who have issues to say that there are some weaknesses within ICASA. Are you agreeing with that?
Okay, I agree based on my experience, right? Mm-hmm. But I also agree that they have done certain things right. So one of the things that I would say they have done right, for example, is what is this thing called? Is it interconnectedness? What is it? I'm trying to think of a name. But there are things that they are doing right. But I'm just saying that they also have challenges in certain areas as well.
Honorable Machoza.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Ms. Nontombana. Thank you for the presentation. But I think, as my colleagues have alluded before, you are very shaky, and I thought maybe by this time you would have relaxed. You know, there are no animals here. You are with the human beings, so we are not going to bite you. And you do want to respond, but you keep on holding yourself back. I'm not sure why you are doing that, because you are not doing yourself a favor by doing so. So just relax. Yeah. But my question would be, the regulation and governance of the ICT sector currently spread into different entities, including the ministry. But there are instances where you would find that there's a duplication of roles and lack of coordination. I want you to give me your view, if you become a counsel. How best do you think we can minimize the duplication of roles and also find a coordinated way of doing things as different entities?
Thank you. So my view, as I say, I believe in efficient use of resources. And one of the ways of doing that is obviously to use resources where you are going to get the best outcomes or the best out of those resources. So, for example, if you say ICASA is responsible for the regulation of the sector, then allow them to do the regulation, give them a clear mandate, give them the supportive infrastructure and the whatever support that they need for them to be able to perform that responsibility. To have inconsistency or at least lack of clarity in the sector in terms of responsibility of who does what also allows for forum shopping, right, in terms of people who have interests or different interests, which are not necessarily helpful in terms of developing the sector. So, but because they are aware of the weaknesses in the system, they take advantage of that, and that doesn't help in terms of what government is trying to achieve in the sector. So my view would be to say first identify within the sector who does what best or who is best placed to do what role, and then you give them the support that they need. You give them the specific mandate which is clear to them but also to the sector, so that the sector is aware of who is responsible for what, and also there is consistency in terms of the understanding of the roles within the sector. So that would be my view. The same thing with coordination. I don't think coordination is something that cannot be achieved. It's something that cannot be achieved, right? Because as I say, you know the minister, the role of the ministry, right? And if there is no clarity, you amend, for example, legislation to make that clear. But also what it does in terms of coordination between the minister and the sector itself, it makes the implementation of policies, but also what is expected in terms of the sector easier. But again, it goes into the clarity of the rules and also the support infrastructure that is made available for the different parties within the sector. And I'm not saying this because I think coordination would be easy. In an industry as complex as ICT, you have many different parties with many different interests. So obviously it will be a challenge, but it's something that I don't think cannot be achieved. And as I said, I will take some of the experience that I have with me from the Competition Commission, because we also regulate very complex sectors, and it's not one sector, it's many sectors. You both are not knowing anything about the sector, but it doesn't mean that you are not able to achieve some of the outcomes that we have achieved. Thank you.
Thank you. Tell me, what is the role of the Complaints and Compliance Commission?
Okay, so my understanding, that is within ICASA, right? Yeah. So my understanding is that there's a process that is followed when someone lodges a complaint within ICASA. And then if they are not happy with how the complaint has been dealt with, there's an appeal process that I think they follow. And then the complaints and the complaints committee is mentioned in the ICASA Act as one of the important processes that one would follow in the process of when the complaint comes to where the complaint, until the complaint is resolved. The committee, my understanding is that it plays an important role in the resolution of disputes and complaints that come to ICAS.
We now take Honorable Josie.
No, I'm good.
Honorable Mulala.
Thanks, Chair. I only have a few questions, Madam Nondomba. In your presentation, on the first page, you speak about the single sector regulation and you gave an example of ICASA as a single sector regulator. And in your view, it regulates only ICT. But I'll come back to that question. Let me start with this one of coordination. On the market, on the data market inquiry, I still believe that somebody is not telling this committee the truth, which everybody is saying we have engaged, but I don't get the sense that there was engagement. So I want you to be honest with us. The Competition Commission proceeded to do their investigation and later consulted with ICASA. ICASA also did their own investigation without talking to the Competition Commission. Is that correct?
Okay, likely at least I was involved in some way in the process, right? So the data inquiry was not an investigation. It was an inquiry. And the inquiry in terms of the commission, the Competition Commission, is a process where the commission finds that a certain sector has challenged competition-wise, but is unable to pinpoint what those challenges are or who is responsible for those prohibited practices. So it opens a broad inquiry which looks into the sector broadly without identifying a specific firm for the process. So that is what was done. It was not an investigation.
Sorry, ma'am. I think let's go back to the question. Maybe you don't understand the question. It's an inquiry, I agree. Maybe it's not an investigation. That one I agree. I accept the correction. My point is simple. When you did that inquiry, did you do it jointly? Or this, ICASA did their own, you did your own, because at some point there was a press conference where announcement of the findings were done in public of the inquiry. And later on, then we got some engagement because those findings are not yet implemented. In terms of the Competition Commission, those findings were supposed to be implemented within some days. It's on record. Now, I want you to be fair and open with me. When you did that inquiry, you did that without proper coordination with ICASA, because if there was proper coordination, possibly ICASA wouldn't have done the same thing that you've done. So I want you to be honest. Just be frank with me.
Okay.
Because I need to know that.
Okay. There was interaction with ICASA. As I said, we met with the council, the ICASA council, When we met with the ICASA Council, we set out our investigations with them, as well as what we're intending to do. And one of the things that we highlighted was that we are concerned about the cost of data. And at the time, there was a lot of talk in the media space regarding the cost of data. So it was not something that we were starting. ICASA informed us in that meeting that they are also looking into data. They even told us that they had done research which looks at the cost of data in other African countries in the comparison. So those engagements did take place, but the process that we did were not done jointly. So they did their own processes, and we did our own inquiry.
Follow up. Well, after the both of you have done inquiry, what were the areas where you were not agreeing? Maybe just as a follow-up.
Okay, so I was not in the inquiry, right? But what I saw, at least in the media, was that there were differences that were pointed out in terms of some of our findings as well as ICASA's view. And I can only say this based on what I've read. This was not based on me interacting with ICASA or based on me being in a meeting between the commission and ICASA. But that is information that is in the public space.
No, thanks, Honorable Mlala. Maybe if I can just go back to the other inquiries or investigations we've done in the broadcasting and the mobile network operators, and I think some of the parts are covered in the report that you were presenting from the side of the COMCOM. One relates to the MNOs in relation to the roaming. Whether in that score, if you were to be on the ICASA side, do you think it's think it's a matter that needs regulation, or it should still be left to the market to decide how they want to run that from a point of self-regulating that space? The second one relates to what is also in the public space, the dominance that's unfair given to multi-choice over the national broadcaster. Then it brings the point about the mascarry regulations also. Whether in your investigations or inquiry in the broadcasting side of things, have you also come across this? And what do you think would have been the reason to leave the matter for so long? Not addressed.
Thank you, Chairperson. To start with the first one, roaming, I think is one of the biggest areas of concern, and this is just my view. And I think the sector has taken advantage of the fact that there are weaknesses in the system, and one of the, So, for example, if I can make an example with cost of data, there is no reason why we should be paying so much for data, right, in comparison to how much they would charge in other countries, for example, the same network operators. And I think it's the same with roaming. You pay ridiculous amounts of money, but no one is able to explain the associated cost that would justify the amounts that you end up paying for roaming. So my view would be that this is definitely one of the areas that one would need to look into, particularly because the disadvantage is really to the consumer, right? The industry is gaining a lot, and it's not clear why it is that they should be making so much money out of roaming. And then I think your second question was with regard to the dominance of multi-choice. Yes, we've looked at the sector, and I think there is no contradiction in terms even of the sector itself that multi-choice is dominant. ICASA, I know, have issued licenses in the sector to allow other players to come into the space, but for some reason no one has been able to come in and effectively compete with multi-choice. Some have tried, some have the licenses, but have never entered. And this has happened, I think, for quite some time, which is why it's difficult for other players to come into the space. And also, I think one of the disadvantages is that multi-choice has, because of its dominance, but also because of its first mover advantage in the sector, if I can put it like that, they've had the advantage of taking up content that others may want by entering, for example, into exclusive agreements. So even if others were to come in, that content may not be available for them, so it doesn't make sense maybe for them to come into those space, because some of the exclusive agreements are for very long time, or they are renewed when they come to expire. So there are just some challenges in terms of entering into the space, even for those that may want to get into the space. And I think this is one of the reasons that ICASA did the inquiry. It was really to try and address some of the issues that had been identified as challenges in the sector. And they came up with some of the remedies that can address some of those issues. And based on what other countries have done, obviously some of them have their own advantages and disadvantages, but the intention was really to address those issues. And one of them was obviously to see how the industry can be spread such that even others that may enter the sector are able to be to enter sustainably.
No, thanks, Ms. Ntombana. I think members would have asked the questions, those who wanted to ask questions. We must really thank you for engaging with the committee. It's not like we have not noticed that as you came through as the evidence next to you, that you are in the process of recovery. But you've respected the committee by coming in and share what you wanted to share with the committee, and I think we should really appreciate that on behalf of the committee, and wish that you'll be back again on your feet again, strongly so, without the assistance on the side. We really appreciate that. But we'll now give you an opportunity to just say your closing remarks, and then we'll release you.
I want to thank all of you for the opportunity, and to say this is just temporary. I got injured during the holidays, and it just took time to recover, but I'm on my way there, and I would have come from wherever I was for the interviews, because I just thought that it's a very big opportunity, and because of the interest I have in the sector, so I would like to really thank you for the opportunity. And that is all really that I want to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Administrative matters will then be handled by the staff that has been interacting with you. Once again, thanks.